Good morning. Today we'll be looking at the importance of the phosphorus saturation threshold, ratio threshold with the various environmental indicators of phosphorus loss risks. And we'll begin with looking at the controlling influence of aluminum and iron oxides on the environmental environmental indicators of P risk, which includes the soil P saturation ratio, the soil P storage capacity, the PSR, that is the P saturation ratio, and its relationships to isotherm parameters, and the PSR relationship with biochar amended soils, biochar being a very popular mode of area of research. I just included that in this particular presentation. And finally, we have the risk assessment using the threshold PSR value. Now, the PSR is a simple ratio of extractable P to iron and aluminum, and the extractant could be oxalate, Mallic 1 extractable, Mallic 3 extractable. And for those of you who are more familiar with the DPS, the PSR is similar to the DPS, except that it's a simple ratio and does not include the percentage factor or the alpha factor in the denominator. Now, if you look at this, and if you can look at the difference or the relationship between the PSR and water extractable P or water soluble P, there's a threshold of 0.1. This is for Florida soils, and with a 95% confidence interval that ranges between 0.05 and 0.15. Then what we have done or just looked at is a relationship in obtaining a threshold using the water-soluble P, which is a lab procedure, but there are several other ways of doing it. Some people have done in replacing the water-soluble with dilute salt solutions, such as calcium chloride, or runoff in simulated rainfall experiments, or leachate in column studies, or the iron oxide strip methods. There are several methods that can be used. And here's just a literature review of the sum of the threshold PSR values that have been identified by different authors using very different procedures and on very different types of soils, so different soil orders. And they are not only from the U.S., they are from Arkansas, not only from the U.S., but also from outside the U.S., and in fact, many of you would know that it is the Netherlands where the DPS concept was first introduced. Now, what I've also done is, while I have two of the graduate students, Bishwanath Dari and Nilavna Chatterjee, as some of the who have been involved in the major presentation part of this, there are others who are also involved, that is Willie Harris, and for others here, I have just included their names and the funding agencies besides at the end of each slide. Now, here is one where the MSPSR, or the M3PSR, that is the Mallic 3 PSR, is related to groundwater quality. And as you can see, now if the mouse helps me, all right, it's somewhere around this 0.1 that it takes off exponentially. And you will have looked, when you see the previous slide, it shows pretty clearly that in the threshold value, it's all approximately 0.1 and definitely falls within the 95% confidence interval of 0.05 to 0.15. In other words, this threshold can be kind of a universal threshold with a little bit more of additional work to confirm it. Now, and you've seen here that at the threshold of 0.1 or close to 0.1, it takes off for increases in P in groundwater. And this is an experiment on wastewater rapid infiltration basin system on groundwater quality conducted in Delaware. Now, from the threshold PSR, we can calculate what we call the soil P storage capacity, or the SPSC. And the SPSC is a very simple calculation. It is simply the difference between the threshold PSR value and the PSR of a soil multiplied by the iron and aluminum, which is a surrogate for P retention. The 31 in that equation is simply to convert millimoles to milligrams P per kilogram of soil. Now, the soil peat storage capacity has an additional importance. It considers risks from previous peat loading as well as inherent peat sorption capacity. Now, this is the only one that I've known, parameter I've known to date, that takes care of legacy phosphorus. Nothing else will tell us what has happened before unless we have a history, and even then it'll not be clear. Now, it provides an estimate of the direct amount of phosphorus a soil can hold before it becomes an environmental risk. Now, let us look at the relationship of SPSC and water-soluble P. We have SPSC in the y-axis. This is positive SPSC, and this is negative. You know, how do you get positive SPSC? Is when the threshold value is less than 0.1. And when it exceeds 0.1, naturally, it becomes negative. And if you look at the relationship between SPSC and water-soluble P, you find that as long as SPSC is positive, water-soluble P or water-extractable P is minimal. But it begins to increase rapidly after it reaches the zero point. Now, next we look at wetlands, because one of the things was, it is possible only for mineral soils, and when you have organic matter, it's not going to work for that. So we looked at wetlands, and the scenario is similar. These are all published in various journals, as I've mentioned here. So when SPSC is positive, your soil is a peat sink. When SPSC is negative, your soil is a peat source. You can substitute water-soluble P with leachate P, or, let's say, any of the other sort of releasable P, right? Including any rainfall simulation experiments, it's possible to obtain from almost any relationship with leachable P. Now, SPSC and edge of field water quality. There are thousands of people who go ahead and do all the total P, at the end, doing it by the day, by the hour, and so on, and looking at the total P levels at the end of several years, right? This is actually the total P that was obtained over a period of years against SPSC. And what do you notice? When SPSC becomes zero, then it takes off. All right, so we can literally predict what's going to happen at your edge of the field, right? Now, and what you're seeing here is just mean values of TP over 2-year period and mean values of SPSC that runs across uplands and wetlands. Then we look at SPSC and groundwater quality. This is the same data that you saw earlier with the groundwater quality, where we used a Malic 3 PSR. You will see that SPSC reaches zero, and there it takes off. So from that, we move on to the PSR and isotherm parameters. You have heard enough on isotherms this morning. So the PSR versus EPC, the equilibrium P concentration, what do you notice? We have the same scenario. Below the threshold PSR, your EPC is virtually zero, and EPC increases only after the threshold PSR is reached. And this has been shown true not only for uplands, but also for wetlands. I'm not presenting all the data here. Now, let us look at the relationship PSR and the Langmuir K, the Langmuir sorption bonding. And what do we see? The same thing. At the threshold PSR, there is no more P that can be held with iron and aluminum, so your Langmuir K value is approximately zero. Now, do we want a way to predict Langmuir K from soil test data? Well, we have it. If you plot various Langmuir K actually determined against SPSC, now, we know that once SPSC is zero or negative, what happens to the K? The K becomes 0, right? What happens when it is positive? When it's positive, it's linearly related. So if we know the relationship, we can, and we look at Pi and aluminum in a solid test solution, we can come up with a corresponding KL value, the Langmuir value. The data is similar for KF or KD, all right, the Freundlich or the linear. It's similar, and I'm not presenting that. We have a poster this evening on this concept. Now, coming over to biochar. There was some controversy, or lots of controversy in literature, so I just looked at something else. We looked at two salts with different P retention capacities and different EPC values, right? The Candler is a less P retentive compared to the Apopka. And we also looked at two biochars with two extreme different characteristics. One is a hardwood biochar, and the other is a poultry little biochar. Evidently, there are two different types, entirely two different biochars, and the two biochars have entirely different total P concentrations. The hardwood biochar, well, even that is high, it's close to 2,000, while for the poultry litter, it is way above, it's 25,000, over 25,000 milligrams per kilogram. Corresponding Mehlich 3 values follow the same pattern, extremely high. Now let us look at what happens when we add biochar at three rates, 1%, 2%, and 5% to a low P retentive soil. This has actually been exaggerated here. This is simply an isotherm, all right, adding certain amounts of phosphorus to the soil in the presence and in the absence of biochar. Now what do we notice? We see that it's the same value here, and it doesn't matter which biochar. The top one is hardwood biochar. The lower one is the poultry litter biochar. It's applied to the same P-retentive soil, and that soil has an SPSC of 45. And it's exactly at 45 where you have the situation. Then we looked at the high P-retentive. Again, it is not the biochar. It is the soil which shows up at this time at about 152. Again, it can be related to SPSC values. Question on controlled temperature. The first one is what we have just seen. Here we have the controlled temperature. It doesn't matter how the biochar is prepared. It's still a property of the soil. This is below the threshold, all right, not after. We looked at the prepared biochar in a Russell kiln, and you had more explanations of this yesterday in the biochar by Casey Smith and David Hollett. And what do you see? Again, it is the soil that dictates what happens. So the power of the threshold, it's a P sink below, it's a P source above. You have K decreasing when SPSC tends to zero, and SPSC is negative, K equals zero. Now, overall risk assessment, agriculture, forestry, agroforestry, urban lands, doesn't matter. Surface horizons, subsurface horizons, wetland soils, fertilizer, biochar, amended soils, this is applicable. You can predict P loss isotherm equations. We know whether the uplands is a source or sink of P. Same with the wetlands, same with the lake. And there we come across, we know we can predict edge of field water quality or groundwater quality, all from three parameters in, say, a Mehlich 3 solution. And here we have, we can identify and obtain K values as very valuable input in P loss predictive models, whether it is a KD, KF, or KL. Thank you.